Are you happy to be here?
Amen.
One more time.
Amen.
Amen. You know what? Before we go any further, I want us just to go around, shake somebody's hand, tell them that you love them this morning. Can we do that?
Sure.
Sister Joanne can. So go ahead, Sister Jo. Can't we just do that for a minute? I love you too.
Love you.
I even love you.
Love you too, brother.
Okay. That's good to know. Love you too. No. Huh? You think? I thought that was bad. Well, thank you. Maybe next time. Huh? Okay. You say, what did this do? Look at your faces now. Everybody's smiling. That's all right. But it's good to hear I love you. How many likes to hear that? Can't hear it enough. Amen. And I appreciate you coming out. Like I said, I appreciate our pastor and putting his trust in me to take care after about 3 or 4 different texts. Then he goes, I trust you with my whole heart. So and that's nice to hear from your pastor, you know, that he trusts me. And I told him I wouldn't do anything that would hurt our local church. Never. But it is good to be here this morning. I'm not going to try to hold you real long, but every time I say that, it seems like I go over time. But I just want to jump right into this morning. I'm going to read in Hebrews chapter 11, I'm going to start at the 4th verse. I have it written down a little bit wrong, but I'm going to start at the 4th verse. If you have your Bibles, that's not the scripture, but it's Hebrews 11, starting at the 4th verse. I don't hear very many Bibles turning. Oh, well, bring your Bibles. I could preach wrong, and I'm reading out of the King James Version. This is the new King James, but I use the King James because I'm too lazy to get it in my head some other versions. I already know what the King James says, and I was raised on it, you know. But I have other versions that I study out of, but when I get the pulpit, I always read the King James Version, okay? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, or I'm sorry. No, I'm not going to start there. I'm going to go somewhere else. Luke 15. I'm just going to learn you how to read the Bible this morning. See? Luke 15, starting at the 4th verse. And I'll give you a second there to get there. And I'm sorry about back there. They're the ones I'm messing up real bad. But it's on there. Oh, we got the King James too. All right. It says, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth he not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. May God bless the reading of His Word this morning. Amen. Have you ever lost anything? I'm talking to you. And you don't know where it is. Huh? You ever lose your keys, Brother Chuck? I know. I lose stuff and I'm looking around for my keys and I can't find them. You know why? I have them in my hand. Done it? Been there? But there's sometimes we cannot find something. We know it's in the house, but I can't find it where I put it. And I hear people say it was the last place where I looked. Well, I guess so. Huh? But you know, if I can't find my wallet, and I need it because there's $2 in there, and no credit cards, but I'm looking for it, and I do a little search, and I can't find it. Of course, I look in my pants pocket. I look on my dresser. Then I start looking somewhere else. And then when I had a wife, I said, help me find my wallet. I can't find it. Been there, Brother Ron? And we do a diligent search. I'm turning everything upside down. I'm ripping through and I'm getting a little bit mad at myself because if I just put that where I know it would be there all the time. But I lost it. But after I found it, woo! I found it. Huh? Hey, wife, I found it. Or kids, or whatever. I found my wallet. And I'm rejoicing. Because I needed that wallet. My driver's license is in there. If nothing else. But I get kind of happy because I finally found it. And this man here had a lost sheep. I don't think we have any sheep herders here this morning. But we all should be sheep herders. Amen. But this man lost his sheep, Brian. And he knew it. That's the whole thing. He knew it of all those sheep. He knew one was missing. I want you to catch that. He didn't just have 5 sheep. Well, that's easy. Well, there's one missing because there's only 4. But Sister Joanne, if you have 100 or more, and you're trying to keep count, which this man obviously did, there's one missing. So you know what he did? I just read it to you. He left the 99. He left them to go find that one little lost sheep. And I want you to realize that you were that lost sheep. I was that lost sheep. Huh? But somebody left the 99 and found me. Huh? Come on. I keep saying this week after week. We're Pentecostal people. We need to act like it a little bit. Amen. I know it's the morning. I know we've just got up and maybe not had our coffee yet. But it's time to worship God. Amen. You know, it's easier on the preachers if you just say amen once in a while. It's easier on the singers if they can hear praise the Lord once in a while and lift your hands and shout glory once in a while. It's okay here. Some places it might not be okay, but it's okay to say praise the Lord in this house. Amen. Oh, I've been to churches where I didn't know what they really believed in, and something would get to my spirit, and I'd say, amen. And half the church would turn around. And I'd get a nudge. They don't do that here. Well, I'm sorry. But if you have one of those in you, and you don't let it out, it'll kill you. So when there's something inside of you that bubbles up and starts to flow, and you need to say, praise the Lord. Glory to God. We're just praising our Savior. They might not do it, but I do it. I'm not ashamed of who I am. I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. I'm not afraid to lift Him up. Why? Because I know what He's done for me. I was that little lost sheep. And I got found again in a meat section of Lucasanos. Come on. It wasn't no accident that I ran into Brother Sam. That's no accident. Because ever since I got to Elwood City, I wanted to find Him. I looked up Angels Cleaning. The phone number wasn't Angels Cleaning, that's for sure. You know, but you know, lo and behold, the shepherd found me. Amen. I know He's the ultimate shepherd, but our shepherd here dug me out in the meat department where I looked pretty rough at that time, going through a lot of different things, but He just invited me out to the house. And did I come that first Sunday? No. But then I got a phone call. It was Pastor Sam. I was looking for you this past Sunday. I'm sorry, brother. I said, but I'll be there this Sunday. I promised him that. 6 months later, I'm still here. I'm still here. Amen. But you were a lost sheep. Sister Tina, you was a lost sheep. But the shepherd found you. You didn't find Him. He wasn't lost. Everybody says, I found the Lord. No, He found you. Because He knows where He's at. And He knows where you're at. At all times, because He loves you. He left the 99 and went after each and every one of us. Aren't you glad that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords took time out to find you? Oh, amen. That's something to shout about. I'm sorry, other churches, but if you really know what the Savior done for you, you'd shout a little bit too. That's the truth. He took my black heart and He washed it in red blood and made it white as snow. Now, how can He do that? Because black and red doesn't make white. Does it, Michael? I don't think it does. But that's exactly what He done for each and every one of us. He's forgiven us. I preached last week. Those that he's forgiven, you're forgiven. You know? Don't keep bringing up things. Because now you got a heart of white. He took out that stony heart. And he gave you a heart of flesh. That's why I can walk up to you and say, I love you. Huh? I had a friend that got saved. And the next day he was walking into Kmart. And he held the door for the lady. And she says, thank you. He says, thank God. Yesterday I wouldn't have. Huh? That's what God does. He gives you that love, that joy, and that peace down inside you that makes you want to come to church. You know, I got saved in 79, and I still can't wait for the next service. How many's there? I can't wait. Sunday to Sunday just seems like a long, long time. Thank God for Bible studies again. Huh? Yeah, you need to come to Bible study. That's where you learn. That's where you can ask questions. Huh? That's true. I always said this. If you come to church on Sunday mornings, you love the church. If you go to church on Sunday nights, you love your pastor. But if you go to church on Wednesday nights, you love God. Think about it. Huh? But he gave me a want to. They say, well, you're a preacher. I wasn't always a preacher. I wanted to be there. I could not wait. Amen. When Sister Tracy asked me to preach this morning, I said, yes. Because I'm like a kid in a candy store when she asks me to do stuff. I keep asking the pastor, what do you want me to do? Put me to work. Well, I don't know. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to sit on just a seat and get dusty. I want to work. Don't you? And there's a work for everyone. He didn't just save us to sit in a seat. But now it's time to go to work. He saved you. Filled you with the Holy Ghost. Now that's just a starting place. It ain't time to sit down and wait for the rapture. But now it's time to go to work. Say, what do I do, Brian? Well, you got to pray to the Lord and see where you fit in the body of Christ. Because he has placed everyone in the body as it pleased him. Now you got to find your niche within the body of Christ. Everybody can't be the head. There's only one head, and that's Jesus. Huh? But then we got a body and it functions. And every part fitly framed together makes it move. You don't believe me? Get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and get some hot milk. And I don't understand that hot milk stuff. But everybody says, you know, get hot milk. I don't know. But at 3 a.m, and you stub that little toe on your coffee table, you'll find out how important that little toe is. Huh? I tell you what, you're going to do a little bit of dancing, you're going to do a little shouting, and you won't be in the spirit. But you'll be shouting. Huh? That little toe's important. Don't stub that little toe. Don't break ribs. Amen. I just got over having 5 of them. That's not fun. That hurts. But we all belong together. Every one of us, we belong. We belong. I don't care if you don't like me, sis. I still belong. And I know you love me. Because you just told me. Huh? But what I'm trying to get across this morning, we're sheep. Jesus went out and searched for every one of us and brought us to this point in our lives. Amen. So now we've got to be lively stones and we're going to build up a spiritual house. Amen. God is doing something in this local church. If you can't feel it, then I don't know where you've been. We've seen people come. We've seen people go. We've seen people come. We've seen people go. You know what God is doing? He's building a foundation. And He knows who's going to stay. And He already knows who's going to go. But we're building on that chief cornerstone, which is Jesus Christ. And once the foundation will be laid, then we're going to go and start building on top of that foundation with Jesus' help. And then we'll have to build another building. Amen. Maybe you don't believe this. I see it. I feel it. Yeah, we're few in number this morning, but you know what? I don't know what He's doing out there. He's already moving on people. How do I know? Look what He did when Noah had the ark all made. The Bible says the Spirit of God moved on the animals. He didn't go after them. The Spirit of God moved on them and brought them in and didn't just bring in two by two. He had a lot more animals on there than just two of each kind. Some was for sacrifice. Some was for eating. If He would just eat all the animals that came in two by two, there'd be nothing to produce. Think about that. But there was a lot more animals to feed than just what we think. Oh, He brought them in two by two. Yes, He did. But He brought in a lot more animals than that. He took care of that eight people. That was His chosen people. And if He took care of them, He'll take care of you. Amen. Whatever you're going through this day, He's already got it under control. It's us that won't let Him have it. Amen. Amen. Hebrews 11:6 says this. This is one of my favorite scriptures. But without faith, it is impossible. It is impossible. It's impossible to please Him. You getting that? For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. How many believe He is? And that He is a rewarder. Am I saying it right? What? Say that a little louder. It's not that I can't hear you. I want you to say it loud. I want you to get this. I want you to chew on it diligently. What's diligently mean, Brian? Everything you got. And He is a rewarder for those. Just for those. Get that. Just for those that diligently seek Him. What a powerful, powerful scripture that is. I know He is. I know He's a rewarder for those who diligently, with all your might, seek Him. Seek Him. I'm going to say something. You can get mad, or you can say, oh me, or you can say, praise the Lord. But you know, in every church, there's a few people that actually get a hold of God for their local church. You know everybody isn't praying. Come on. We're not dummies. We know that. But here's the thing. Those that are diligently seeking the Lord for that local church, that local body, it's great that they get a blessing. But you know, the blessings don't just fall on the ones that are diligently seeking Him. Sometimes the other ones that do nothing get mercy drops. And you wonder, why? Well, I'm not God. You know, I used to have a message a long time ago called Spiritual Hobos. And I'm not going to preach that no more. Once was plenty. Especially at a state convention where there was 500 people. But you know, it was a good message. Don't get me wrong. But what I'm saying is we need to diligently seek Him. We are not seeking after the Lord. When will you find Him? When you search for Him with all of your heart. We're not finding Him the way we need to be finding Him. We need a diligent search, just like it for that wallet that we might have lost. We diligently seek after that wallet. And that's how we're going to have to get to Christ. Amen. Forget our little prayers that we all learned. Oh God, if it be, it is. It is His will that He blesses us. It's not if. That satanic if. That's what Satan used on the Lord. If thou be the Son of God. Huh? He could have said, you know I am. We need to diligently seek the Lord. Amen. We need to get into our secret closet. And when I was a young Christian, I actually got in a closet because I thought that's what it meant. Well, you know what? The Lord and I had a great time in that closet. Amen. After I dug a hole to get in there. But I learned along the way. Anywhere that I'm praying is my closet. And we had a great time. And that's where we need to pray and let the Holy Ghost pray with murmurings and utters we don't understand. How many ever groaned in the Spirit? It feels like your gut's going to come out. But you know what you're doing? You're dying. You're agonizing with God. Amen. You're dying out the self and wanting the Holy Spirit to take over. And that's what we need. That's what it's going to take. Amen. For this local church to grow. Amen. Is somebody getting on their knees and agonizing before God. Agonizing. Jesus agonized with His Father when He was in Gethsemane. Oh yes, He did. He didn't want to die. That was the flesh. But then Spirit took over. Nevertheless, come on. We need to learn to pray. Last church I pastored, I got my church to pray. I started out on Monday night prayer meetings. You know how many showed up? 3. Did I quit? No. No way. And it started to catch on little by little. By the time I left there, we had 25 people on Monday night prayer meeting. And we didn't just come to the altar to pray. I said, find yourself a place to pray. Some went in the basement. Some went in the bathroom. Some went by the back door. Some were stretched out all over the floor. But find a place to pray. And we're not going to pray for 5 minutes. We're going to have to pray until the Holy Ghost prays. We're going to have to get down to business with God. Our little prayers do not scare the devil. I'm telling you that right now. He will not flee if you're just saying the same old, day after day. But when you let the Holy Ghost pray, then He starts to shake. Then we'll shake hell. Amen. Oh, you ain't getting this. Some are. We need to pray. I want our local church to grow. But I want you to grow. Wouldn't it be nice to have a church, every member come in that are saved and every member filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost? What a powerful church. We can move mountains. And I don't mean that mountain out here. The mountain in our lives. Oh, he could move that mountain if he wanted to. But I want him to move mountains in my life. Amen. And the only way we can do that if we pray. Seek God. Seek after him. Let him move in your life. Amen. Don't just go on your knees and ask him for everything, then get up. He's trying to say, hey. I'm wanting to talk to you here. Where are you going? I got to go to Walmart. But that's when we need to shut up and let him talk to us in that still, small voice of his. Amen? Amen. He's nothing to be scared of. Oh, sometimes I feel like he's right beside me. And my hair does stand up on the back of my neck. And I'm thinking, Lord, you're right here, aren't you? If I open my eyes, I bet you I can see you right now. Huh? But I tell you what, that's reverence to him. Amen. If you never felt him that close, you need to get that closeness with God. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And I'm glad, because me and my brother aren't that close. But I'm close with the Lord. He loves me. He loves me. Just for who I am. Amen? Let's pray, church. Can we do that? Can we build up our altars at home and start to really pray? Pray for your pastor. Pray for his wife. She's the first lady of this church. And they need prayer. Why? Because I know Satan is after them. And he'll be after us, and that's okay. Because he can't do nothing to us that the Lord doesn't allow. Huh? Look at Job. Look at Job. My goodness, what he went through. And he never gave up. Never gave up. He lost everything. Everything. And he still loved the Lord. Even his friends told him, you need to give up. What friends are that? His wife said, curse God and die. What kind of wife was that? Huh? Don't need that in your life. But if you read the end of Job, he got everything back. Everything. Huh? Don't give up. Pray. Pray until the Holy Ghost prays. If you don't have him right now, you don't have to be in church to receive him. You can receive him anywhere. The car is a great place. I have so much in tune with him while I'm going down the highway that sometimes I just feel like, take the wheel and let me just praise you for a while. Huh? You ever feel that way? He's close. I had some real good friends that traveled all around this country, and they were in a van, and they weren't young men of God. They were in their 60s at that time. Some are even dead right now. But they were on their way from Tennessee up to Colorado. And that's a long stretch. And on their way, the Spirit of God fell in that van. All of them were in the back of the van praising the Lord. Did you hear me? All of them was in the back of the van praising the Lord, Brother Michael. Who was driving? I like to see the cops stop that van. I'm sure he'd scratch his head. Who's driving? Holy Ghost. Come on, guys. No, I'm serious. Huh? I want that nearness. I want to get that close to him. We go, oh, man, I'd like to be like Peter. I'd like to be like Paul. Really? Really? They paid an awful price to where they got. Am I willing? Lord, I hope so. Make me willing. That if I can just cast a shadow on somebody and they be healed, give you all the praise and all the glory, Jesus. I would love to go and shut down nursing homes. Sorry for the nurses, but you know what I'm saying. Huh? Or maybe you don't know. I'd like to just go and lay hands on somebody, like the Bible says, and they'll recover. Nursing home, hospitals. Like I prayed for that guy on the bridge that day. I didn't know him from Adam. But all I know, he was in pain because he had big old tears running down his face. And I looked at him and said, "You okay?" "No." I said, "I kind of figured. I can see you are in pain." "Yes, I am." And I prayed right there. I thought he might say, no, I don't want no prayer. But he said, "Go ahead, pray for me. I need help." We just said a little prayer, simple little prayer. Simple to us, big to God. Huh? God touched that man. And before he got off the Ewing Park Bridge, he was coming across on Lucasano's side. By the time he got on the other side of that bridge, he was walking. No limp, no nothing. And he looked at me, and I looked at him, and all he went was, "That's God. That's God." We need to learn to minister to people. I got a friend that goes everywhere in the world, and you know, he was a big drug addict. He's got dreads. He preaches in his socks, but God uses him so mightily. He goes up and down the mall, and if God tells him to go and pray for that man, he goes and prays. And you know what? He just don't walk away. That man got healed. He's got a great healing ministry. Amen. He was over in Jerusalem praying for people, getting healed. I'm not just into healings, but we live in a world that people need a healing and an ultimate healing of their heart. America is in trouble because we got a heart problem. Come on, it's the truth. It's not Mr. Trump. It's not Obama. There's a devil loose. And America's got a heart problem. Before, we'd have never thought about shooting our neighbor. If I was in school and we had aught against somebody, we took it out back, we had a fist fight, and it was over. I never got in them. Yeah, it is hard. Sometimes I won. I was really happy then. But it was over. I never thought about shooting him. We were friends afterwards. You know, we just had a dispute. But today they'll just shoot you. It's scary today. Heart problem. Satan is just thrusting everything that he has now. Everything. Everything that he can think of, he's throwing at the world. And it's up for the Christian to start praying. It is up to us. Amen. We need to get tired of being tired and really start praying for this old world because it's coming to an end. It's coming to an end. An end for us. You understand that? The end is for us. When the rapture takes place, this world's going to go on. It's going to go on just as it is, Brother Mike, but I wouldn't want to live here after the rapture takes place, because God's going to lift his spirit from this world. And then, and excuse me for saying this, but it's true, then all hell is going to break loose on this earth. I don't want to be here. That would be a scary thing if I missed the rapture. Because every church will be filled one day too late. Don't miss it. There's nothing in this world missing the rapture for. Nothing. Right, Sister Emma? That's right. And we need to get ready because he's coming. He's coming. God bless you today is my prayers. I hope I said something that'll bless you, that'll carry you through the week. And Pastor Sam will be with us next week, so you won't have to hear me anymore. I gave you a double portion. But I want us all to stand. We need to pray. We need to seek God. When will you find him? When you search for him with all of your heart. With all of your heart. That's an easy scripture to read. It's pretty hard to do sometimes, Sister Emma. But we must learn this. We must learn to pray. Amen. God bless you. Sister Joanne, I'm going to ask you, if you would, to dismiss our service in a word of prayer.